Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oh, these are still coming in. On the federal government shutdown as existential theater, someone writes, I think of Eugenie Ionesco's rhinoceros. I'm not capitulating, said a character to a herd of loud rhinos symbolizing Vichy France. Ooh, that's a good one. Terry from Brooklyn, please, please, please stop using the boiled frog metaphor. As James Fallows has repeatedly pointed out, the frog will, in fact, leap out when the water gets too hot. Okay, that's a good one, too. And clarity on why Congress gets paid. The 27th Amendment to the Constitution specifically stipulates that the salaries of the House and Senate cannot change until a congressional election has come and gone. Members of both chambers, by the way, currently make $174,000 a year. So there you go. Speaking of legislators, this morning we continue to follow the work of the Moreland Commission that Governor Cuomo appointed to investigate corruption by New York State elected officials, speaking of legislators and money. It was impaneled after no legislation was passed in the legislature this year, despite those recent scandals. But my next guest, Daily News Albany Bureau Chief Ken Lovett, reports the commission allegedly pulled back on using subpoenas to two groups that have supported the governor. And there are even reports it may close shop early entirely. Welcome back to the show, Ken Lovett. Hi.
Good to be here.
So, Ken, how exactly is the governor said to have intervened in the work of the Moreland Commission?
Well, according to those close to the situation, apparently there was pressure put on the commission to basically withdraw subpoenas that were set to go out. In one case, there were subpoenas that were going to go to the Real Estate Board of New York, which is very close to Governor Cuomo, and that one ended up not going out. In another case, they were going to send a subpoena to both the State Ethics Commission and the Legislative Ethics Commission, looking for prior complaints against lawmakers. Governor asked that that not go out. And then probably most shockingly, a subpoena was going to go out to the State Democratic Party, which the governor controls, looking at the housekeeping account, which raised millions of dollars this year to help fund ads promoting the governor's agenda. And that, too, did not go out.
Huh. Talk a little bit more about REBNY. This is the powerful real estate industry lobby, the Real Estate Board of New York. How have they supported the governor, and why were they being subpoenaed?
Well, some of the first, some of the first subpoenas that went out went to some top real estate developers who got caught up. There was a bill that passed earlier this year by the legislature, signed by the governor, that it was a housing bill, and it did a lot of different things. But tucked away inside that bill were tax breaks for five developers, lucrative tax breaks. So the Daily News had written about that a couple of months ago. So right out of the chute, the commission sent subpoenas there, and that became public. Well, we found out that those same five developers gave a lot of money to Governor Cuomo, particularly around the time he was signing the bill. That raised questions. REBNY was all part of that. REBNY was also very close to the Independence Party, which was also getting subpoenaed for its relationship with the Senate, state Senate Republicans. So REBNY, there was a lot of interest from both those angles, and that subpoena ended up not going out.
Does the governor or State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, who's also mentioned in your story, acknowledge that they intervened with the Moreland Commission on these subpoenas?
They haven't said much about it. What the commission has said is they have been in frequent contact with both the governor and the attorney general, that you know, they get advice from the governor's office, but that in no way have they been directed to do anything. But sources close to the situation say otherwise, that they were specifically told not to send the subpoenas to REBNY, not to send the subpoenas to the Legislative Ethics Commission and the State Ethics Commission.
So, listeners, are you following the work of the Moreland Commission at all, or are the federal shutdown and the election campaigns consuming your entire politics quota for right now? If you have any questions or comments about this or tips, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Ken Lovett, the Albany bureau chief for the Daily News, who's been digging into legislative corruption and the commission to investigate legislative corruption, now allegedly, reportedly, being interfered with by the governor. And what's the attorney general's role in this? Where does he come into your story?
Well, the attorney general has not. There's been no suggestion that they have got, that his office has gotten involved in terms of directing what subpoenas should or shouldn't go out. The attorney general helped appoint some of the commission members. One of the three commission co-chairs was appointed by the attorney general, and they get regular by law. They get weekly updates on what's going on. But there's a difference, people say, between getting a weekly update and directing what goes on, which is what the governor's office has been accused of doing.
When the panel was first appointed, news reports quoted one of the co-chairmen, William Fitzpatrick, saying of the governor, he's not looking for rubber stamps. He's looking for an independent commission, and will do what Deep Throat told Bob Woodward to do, follow the money. Is he standing by that statement?
He says that they're independent. He says, yes, we're in touch with them, we're in contact, but the co-chairs make the final decisions. But he does not deny that there is discussions between the governor's office and the co-chairs. We've reported that the co-chairs met personally in mid-September with the governor, and that we're told that the governor's office, because who appointed an executive director to the commission, a woman named Regina Calcaterra, who apparently has rubbed a number of commissioners the wrong way. So the governor's office is now doing most of its interaction with the commission through William Fitzpatrick, the Onondaga County DA, rather than its own hand-picked executive director, Regina Calcaterra.
The Moreland Commission, I gather, did subpoena the legislators to get the names of their outside sources of income, including legal clients if they're lawyers, but the legislature refused, threatening to take that issue to court. Has that made the whole commission more tentative?
Interestingly enough, no. What ended up happening was, after the legislature refused, and by the way, a letter went out to the lawmakers, not a subpoena, and that letter was heavily edited or heavily written by Cuomo's chief counsel, Mylon Dennerstein, even though there are counsels working specifically for the commission. But after the legislature said, no, we're not going to comply, we think you're overreaching, there were a bunch of commissioners during a meeting that said, we want to send a subpoena now. Now that they've ignored us, let's send a subpoena. And the governor's office basically told them to, no, don't send out a subpoena for a little while. We want to see if we can negotiate an ethics reform package first before we go that route.
And what's the bottom line here that they're hoping to accomplish or to solve, the bottom line problem? I mean, these legislators who were caught last year engaging in bribery and things like that, I mean, those are actual crimes. So what's the difference between that and reforming the campaign finance laws, as you were just referencing?
Well, I mean, some of the worst stuff is considered legal right now. You know, fundraising practices, both by the governor and the legislature. And I think what they're looking at is the nexus between political donations and legislation. That's a big thing they're looking at. You know, they're talking about possibly pushing some kind of campaign public financing system for the state level. They're looking at any criminality if they can find any. They're looking at better oversight of the State Board of Elections, which has basically been a do-nothing organization. The governor had proposed trying to have an independent investigative panel within the Board of Elections, but the legislature rejected that. So that's some of the stuff they're looking at.
There are other unsourced reports that the commission, instead of continuing to work through next year, will conclude its work after it presents a preliminary report in December, when it will suggest a constitutional amendment. That's a New York State constitutional amendment to institute public campaign financing. What's the story there?
Well, I mean, exactly that. The governor, look, right now this is turning into a black eye. The governor was hoping this commission would, he'd be seen as championing reform, championing cleaning up Albany, but it's turning into somewhat of a black eye for him. The feeling is he'd like to cut his losses and move on by coming up with some kind of ethics package, which might include a constitutional amendment for the campaign public financing, because the state Senate right now that has the leadership of Republicans will not go for it, as a strict bill, that maybe it would be more amenable, they'd be more amenable if it was a constitutional amendment, which the legislature would have to pass twice and then put it up for a public referendum.
Yeah, although because of that, what you just said, I've read conflicting reports of whether an amendment would be an easier route to getting rid of this legal graft, legal bribery, getting public financing enacted over Republican objections because of precisely what you said. An amendment would have to get through the entire legislature two times, not one, and then go on to the ballot and get approved by voters statewide. That's a high bar.
No, it's much tougher than just passing a bill, but it may be more realistic in terms of a way out of this because the Senate right now is dead set opposed. The Senate Republicans are dead set opposed to any kind of public financing. Maybe they can live with a constitutional amendment knowing that there would be a chance to shoot it down.
And it gets kicked down the road like 5 years before it could come into effect through that route. And this sounds like what happened with redistricting reform. The governor had threatened to veto the gerrymandering after the 2010 census that was more based on the interests of the two parties to keep the incumbents safe and things like that. But he ended up signing off anyway and offering a sort of reform as an amendment that will show up on the 2014 ballot. So I don't know. Is there an analogy here and a disappointment with Cuomo worth comparing to what's going on now?
No, I think it's a very good analogy. Look, the reality is there are a lot of people who think that the governor was trying to straddle the fence with this commission because a couple weeks ago I had reported that the people in the legislature were saying that this commission could jeopardize his legislative agenda going into next year. That's a big year for the governor because this is reelection year. He does not want a major fight with the lawmakers. If you look at what he's done with the commission, part of it is, he wants to use it to publicly embarrass the legislature and say we need reform and score publicity points. But on the other hand, he stopped a subpoena supposedly that would have gone seeking complaints against, ethical complaints against lawmakers. He also stopped the commission so far from subpoenaing the legislature for information on their outside income so he could try to negotiate a final package. It's almost like he's trying to straddle the line of not completely alienating the lawmakers while taking a tough public stand.
And on that redistricting proposal that the governor is floating now, I gather that good government groups don't like it so much. So what's the issue with the redistricting reform if they're for redistricting reform?
Well, I mean, the good government groups don't like it, but ultimately I think he's banking on the fact that if that's the best chance of getting it, that they would ultimately acquiesce.
I think their problem is that the legislators would be able to appoint the members of a commission that would supposedly be independent to come up with non-political redistricting. But if they're appointed by the very politicians whose interests the commission is supposed to get around, then maybe not so much.
Well, right, and it's not something that takes effect for 10 years because that's the next redistricting. They want to change immediately. The governor promised immediate change on redistricting. I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question before, but certainly they feel that that this was a half a loaf at best and probably only a quarter loaf when it came to the promise of redistricting reform.
Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News. Before you go, I saw your story this morning about more money in politics in New York, this time with the film and TV industry. What's the story there?
Yeah, the film and TV industry has pumped in almost $1 million, $900,000 into state campaigns over the last, since 2010, since the governor started running. The governor got $219,000 of that. The state party he controls got about $166,000 of it. And a lot of that money showed up as he was this year proposing and negotiating to expand a tax credit program that film production production and TV production companies benefit from. So, again, you know, if you're looking at the nexus between legislation and donations, this certainly is an example of that. Again, nothing illegal, nothing seems to violate the law, but it raises questions about, you know, donations and legislation.
And we should really get through this year's elections, which are starting to become somewhat dreary, before we go on to 2014. But that is Governor Cuomo's reelection year. Do you see any meaningful challenge to him on the horizon, either in a Democratic Party primary, no, or any meaningful challenge from a Republican?
At this point, as we speak, no, I don't. The governor, though his numbers aren't, you know, in the stratosphere like they were his first 2 years, they're still, you know, popular. He's still popular. He's weaker upstate. He's popular in the city. He's okay in the suburbs. He's got $28 million in the bank and growing. So, you know, the question isn't whether he's going to win in all likelihood, unless something really dramatically changes, but the question is by how much. He'd like to ring up a huge victory. Right now, there's
Ring up a huge victory to help his image, with the possibility of doing, let's see, something maybe in 2016 if Hillary doesn't do it?
Yeah, that's always in the back of people's mind, isn't it? You know, at this point, I don't think he would run, especially if Hillary Clinton runs for president. But certainly, I think since he's taken office, everything he has done has been on a dual track. It's been, you know, would it work for me and here in New York, and would it play into some kind of national narrative? Already this, you know, the last 2 weeks, he's gone back to the whole situation, looking at D.C. and the gridlock and the government shutdown, and saying, look, you know, we've got bipartisan cooperation here in New York. We've managed to, you know, pass a budget 3 times on time with a Republican Senate and a Democratic Assembly. We've gotten, you know, gay marriage passed. We got a gun control bill passed. You know, obviously the New York Republicans are far different than the national Republicans ideology-wise, but certainly that's part of his narrative now. I can get things done.
Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News. Great job. Thanks a lot.
Anytime. Be well.